Luke 3:7-18. And we're in that that sort of phase of the Advent lessons where we are doing beginning of the ministry or entry to Jerusalem, that kind of thing, and certainly not the Christmas story, but the penitential side of Advent. Now, as I've said before, I myself am never quite convinced of this emphasis because of the Christ the King Sunday and the end of the church year, that becoming its own sort of season, but I mean, this is certainly traditional. Now, this is basically the ministry of John the Baptist in Luke 3. And so let's begin with verse 7. There's some very interesting grammatical things in this particular section. Elegen un tois ek poroia menois ochlois. And therefore he began to say to the traveling out crowds, to the crowds which were traveling out, Baptis thenai hup autu, to be baptized, aorist passive infinitive, by him. Now there's a good example of with the passive you use hupaw plus the genitive for the agent of the passive verb. Rhodes, that is a huge sandwich you have there. My word. Almost off-putting here to the guy doing the lessons. Note that ek poroia menois is a participle in attributive position. It's passive. The poroiamai is a passive deponent. Genemata ichnidon. You can see with genemata, you can see the gen stem, and when it's the double ni, that's from genao to beget. And so this would be things begotten, offspring of vipers. You know, the King James talked about brood of vipers. That's all right, but it doesn't quite, I think it may give a little bit of the wrong focus there, that it's not a brood of vipers if you're thinking of something like a group, but this is supposed to be offspring or production. So this is kind of like when Jesus says later, well, your fathers killed the prophets, you people killed the prophets. You are just continuing on that same line. Fruit, you know, kind of is the same idea. Who hyp edaiksen, who showed to you, demonstrated to you, figain, to flee from the about-to-be wrath. The going to be. Mellow means to be about to be going to. The wrath about to happen, about to be. Poiesate un, therefore make or do, carpus axius, fruits, worthy ones, tes metanoias, of repentance. As an abstraction, repentance will often take the article of the repentance, I guess, the you know, of true repentance. Kai, me arxes the, and do not begin to say, legain, en hel, tois, within yourselves, patera echomen ton Abraham. We have Abraham, and then you could say, as our father. Now, a couple of points here. First of all, note that we have two aorist-stemmed commands. Poiesate, second person plural, aorist imperative active, and me arxes the, second person plural, aorist so-called middle subjunctive. Now, remember how the imperatives work in Greek. You use the imperative mood form for positive imperatives and for negative imperatives with the so-called present stem. But with the aorist stem, you use me plus the aorist subjunctive. So this is an example with me arxes the. Also, I'd like to observe here, note that poiesate is aorist. Now, you might think it should be present. I mean, after all, you are to do fruits worthy of repentance at all times in your life. And you might think this is sort of a policy command that would focus on that. Well, not so. This is an interesting example of what I would call a focused command. That is to say, sure, you're supposed to do it at all times, but what he's doing is focusing it down to make it like a specified or specific case right now, because he's worried about doing it right at the present time. That is to say, you got to do the fruits worthy of repentance because, as we're going to read now in verse 9, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. So you got to act right now. This isn't lifetime commands. This is commands in a given situation right at the present time. So that aorist allows him to focus the command down to the present time. Legein is present infinitive because archamai always takes the present. And then, in the interesting construction, patera echomenton Abraham, not we have a father Abraham, but we have Abraham as father. I think this is an example of the Caldwell's rule, where the thing, when you have a predicate in front of the verb to be, normally, but in this case echo, it will lack the article. So Abraham is, so to speak, the subject, and father is the predicate with an understood verb to be. We have Abraham as or being to be our father. But you've pulled the father in the front of Abraham, and so then that lacks the article. So again, to translate that, we have Abraham to be father or as our father. Lego gar, for I say to you, Hutti, that Dunatai ha theos ekton lithon tuton, God is able from these stones, agairai, to raise up children for Abraham. Now, agairai, let's parse that. That's an aorist active infinitive of agairo. Looks a little odd, but is actually quite normal. The agair stem is the aorist stem, and so the alpha yota is the ending, just like on lusai from lyo, the infinitive ending is alpha yota. This should put to rest any dispute about this. Some of you may have been instructed in the following fashion, that to make the aorist infinitive, you add psi to ly. That's wrong, because the sigma is part of the stem. So lys is the stem for the aorist, and you add alpha yota. You can see the truth of what I'm saying by this form agairai, because the alpha yota is the infinitive ending, and the rho is the end of the stem. Don't put any sigma there. 9. Eide, already, right now, just yet, at this time. Kai, even, he axine, the axe, and our word axe comes from this, prostane hridzon ton dendron kaitai. The axe is lying at the root of the philodendron. Philodendron comes from that, the tree or plant. Already the axe kaitai is lying pros the root of the trees. Now, how come he uses pros? Why not a p or something like that? Well, I think this is an example of what you might call latent action or something like that. And this is what I mean. In order for the axe to be at the root of the tree, first you had to bring it across the root of the tree. Then it lies there at the root of the tree. So there's a kind of an idea here. There's a latent idea of bringing the axe toward the root of the tree. This would never be used, I've never seen an example of it at least, where you would use pros meaning at if you had something like this. Another little branch grew up at the foot of the tree. Well, that's not being brought toward the foot of the tree, so then they would use epi or something like that. So the axe is already lying there at the root of the trees. Un, therefore, pandendron, every tree, me poyun karpon kolon, not doing good fruit, ek koptatai, is cut out. And by the way, Greek always uses cut out rather than cut down. It doesn't use kata kopto, but always ek kopto, is cut out and into the fire is thrown, balo. Those two, ek koptatai and balatai, are third singular present indicative passive. Now, a couple of interesting grammatical points. First, note that me poyun is in attributive position. It is every tree not producing, which does not produce, yet there's no article in front of it. Why is that? That's because the noun itself doesn't have an article. See, dendron, it was not ta dendron, and therefore, if that is anarthrous, anarthrous meaning without the article, then the participle can also be anarthrous, and it can still stand in attributive position. So I would translate this, therefore, every tree which does not produce good fruit is cut out, down, and is thrown into the fire. Now, note the word for good there in good fruit. It's kolon. Well, now there's not, that's not the kind of thing you'd incline to say. You'd incline to say agathon. But I think here is an example where you might say the metaphor is being driven by the underlying reality. Or to use sort of technical terms, the metaphor, the tree metaphor, is the vehicle, and the underlying reality is the tenor. The tenor is driving the vehicle here. Because what's he talking about? He's talking about good works, okay? Noble works. So kolon, in that case, is the perfect word to use. And so that word actually shows up here now in his description of the fruit. It says technically something like this, bear noble fruit. Well, bear good fruit, that is to say, noble works. 10. Kai eperoton. Now there's our friend erotao in the imperfect again with the epi on the front. Eperoton. Auton hoi ochloi legantos. And the crowds began to ask him, saying, Tiun poiesomen. What then shall we do? Now, poiesomen, first plural, aorist, subjunctive, active. What's the use of the subjunctive here? Well, you'll notice it's not in a henna clause. It is an independent use of the subjunctive. That is the deliberative use of the subjunctive, asking like, what the heck are we supposed to do? See, they're sort of thinking out loud when they do this. So that's the deliberative use of the subjunctive. What then shall we do? You can sometimes just use the indicative. 11. Apokrithais de elegen autois. And upon replying, or in replying, he said to them. Apokrithais, masculine singular nominative, aorist passive participle. Here's a good example of where the aorist passive participle, the aorist participle is not time prior to the leading verb, but is really the same action as the leading verb. In other words, you'd say something like this. He proceeded to say to them, in giving his answer. It's not like first he answered and then he said something to him, as if he did two different things, but the answering is what he said. He began to say to them, ha echon dio chitonas meta doto to me echanti. The one having two tunics, let him share with the not having guy, the to me echanti, the not having person. Meta doto, third singular, aorist imperative active from meta didomi, and it means to share. So share your clothing, your physical needs with the one who needs. And you should notice in the side margin, if you're using the Nestle text, the side margin is a reference very appropriately to James 2, 15 to 17, with the how the people in God's family are to act to one another. Kai ha echon bromata homoios poiaito, and the one who has bromata, bread, to eat. Similarly, poiaito, let him do. 12. Elthonde kai telonai. Hey, my favorite whipping boys in Greek, the telonai, the tax collectors. So, the tax collectors and the tax collectors came, baptisthenai, to be baptized, and ipon prosauton, and they said to him, a couple of comments on ipon prosauton. Notice ipon is third plural, aorist indicative active from ipon, but it's a weak aorist termination on a strong aorist stem. It's ipon, not ipon. Secondly, they said pros auton. Now that should more properly have been auto, but Luke often reflects a very informal vernacular like this. And so this is the equivalent of an indirect object with pros. Didaskale ti poiesomen. Teacher, what shall we do? Hode ipen prosautus, and he said, hodes, which is the subject, and he said to them, me den pleon para ta dia tetagmenon, you mean, prosete. All right, let's take a look at that. Prosete is second person, plural, present, imperative, active, and with me den, you get nothing. Do nothing pleon greater, more full, I guess you would say, more para. Para is sort of an alternative to a, meaning than. That is to say, more in comparison to, if you stand it next to. In comparison to ta dia tetag menon, that which has been commanded, instructed to you, you mean, and is now your portfolio. Now, what is that dia tetagmena? That is a perfect passive participle from dia tasso, meaning to command or to order. So, don't go beyond the thing that is directed to you. Now, he uses proso here instead of poieo. I don't know. Is that for variety? It might be. But remember the essential difference between proso and poieo. Poieo is a kind of an umbrella term. And then when it's more specific, it's used to mean like to make something. Whereas proso is to do in the sense of to act in a certain way. So if you want to push this, and I don't know if we should, you would say, don't act beyond that which is commanded to you. So follow the accepted procedures. That's how I would understand this. I think this is confirmed by the next clause. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Ep eroton de auton kai stratoi omenoi legantos. And they began to ask him, soldiering guys, saying, all right, the stratoi omai, guys who are engaged in soldiering. That's a participle, present passive participle. Ti poiesomen kai hemais. Yeah. And what shall we also do? Now, I want you to compare to verse 12. See, in verse 12, the tax collectors come and say, ti poiesomen, what shall we do? Now come the soldiers, maybe a little worse group. You know, first you have the kind of holy type people. Then you've got guys who are at least working for the state. Now you've got guys who have blood on their hands. Ti poiesomen kai. You lose that kai at your peril. Even us. See, even we. What shall we do? Kai aipen autois. Now there he doesn't use pros autus. There he uses autois. That's the regular indirect object. And he said to them, me dena dia saisete. You can see seismograph in there. Don't shake anybody down. This is exactly what it means. There is an interesting letter in the Oxyrhynchus Papyri that I came across when I was doing my grad work that talks about this specifically. soldiers shaking people down. Protection. This is what this is. This means don't be like the Casa Nostra extorting protection money out of people, or you're going to bop them. So don't shake people down. Me de sycophantese te. Don't harass people. Don't annoy people. And archaiste, and be sad. Remember, archeo means to be satisfied, be content. Be content with tois upsonios humon, with your day wages. So be content with your wages. Don't be augmenting them with a little action on the side. Now, I think in the light of this passage, what he says to the tax collectors is interesting. Don't act beyond your mandate. So I take that to be, now I don't know, Andy, this may be pushing it. I take that to be not so much don't charge people more than you should, but, you know, don't be threatening the folks and don't be acting in a way that is not, like I could imagine if you take it to the IRS, you go down there, the guy's browbeating you and everything like that. You're not supposed to be acting like that. You're supposed to be acting in a correct way. Of course, I think it goes without saying that you're not extorting money from people then either. This passage, by the way, I'm talking about now verse 14, was very significant for Martin Luther in his discussion of the two kingdoms, because he felt, and I think he's right on this, that this is a real good proof for the fact that people can serve the state in the kingdom of the left hand without, you know, and not give that up. In other words, you can be a Christian and be a soldier. You can be a Christian and be a hangman. He uses that all the time. Or my favorite one, if they need a prince, you know, yes, I'll be a prince if you need a prince. So you can engage in, or a judge, that's another one that often comes up. Can you be a judge? Can you be a soldier? Can you be a hangman? He says yes, and he invokes this particular passage.
Did it assume these are Roman soldiers?
I don't know that that is, because they did have their own
temple of the Jewish soldiers.
They had the Jewish.
I mean, you might argue this is still right-hand stuff if it's the temple soldiers. That's throwing a whole monkey wrench into the whole thing, but I'm just curious. But I like your progression that you kind of go from the tax collectors who are sort of in between.
They're sort of in between.
Romans,
yeah,
and that
yeah.
Kind of imply that we've gone the next step now.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just Roman people or anybody. See, Luke uses that rather vague stratoiomenoi. So he doesn't use guard, phylox. He doesn't use something like cohort or something like that. I think it's sort of general. Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm not sure the Roman soldiers would be all that interested.
No, I don't think they would. No. On the other hand, you do have people like, you know, that's talked about where they come to Jesus and Luke and say, well, this guy built our synagogue for us and so on. So there were the God-fearers. There were the God-fearers. But that's an interesting point. Okay, 15. Pros de contas. Okay, we come blasting right out with a genitive absolute. Pros de contas de tu lau kai dialogizomenon panton. And while the people were expecting, pros de kao, that's an a-o contract verb, is to kind of be in expectation. While the people were expecting, in expectation, use a little Martin Franzmanism here, on tiptoe. And he used to have translations like that. And dialogizomenon panton, and while all were dialoguing, were wondering in their hearts concerning John. Now, all you fans of obscure Greek, this next part is great. Me pote autos ia ha Christos. Ia, what's that? Optative mood of the verb to be. Luke, the only guy who uses the optative in the New Testament, Luke and Acts, and always in, yes, you're right, indirect discourse in a secondary sequence. So, we are talking about here now.
I don't know if I can contain myself.
This really had me pumped, I'm telling you. And Carly, if you'd like to take this down, we're looking at Blas de Brunner Funk, paragraphs 370 and 386, subparagraph 2. which discusses this particular verse. Now, first, a couple of points. Number one is, what's the use of the optative there? Well, there's one like this when Mary wonders what sort of greeting this was. This is what I call technically the what the heck optative. And that is to say, it is when a person is thinking a thought or saying something, so it's indirect discourse. He was wondering that, wondering if, saying that. And then you have the optative replacing the indicative or subjunctive, but only in a secondary sequence. That is to say, when the main verb's in the past. Well, that's what we have here. These participles are eventually dependent upon, verse 16, apekrinata, which is an aorist in the past. So it's indirect discourse in a secondary sequence and indicates a high degree of what the heckism, such as, what the heck kind of greeting is this, says Mary. And the people are wondering, what the heck, is this guy the Christ? They're asking it, but they're asking it in confusion. In confusion. The mepote, I had to look that up there with this optative. This is a pretty obscure sort of construction. Paragraph 370 and 386, subparagraph 2 handle. It's 370 that specifically talks about mepote. This is used when a person is additionally uncertain and is normally translated like perhaps. It doesn't mean lest or in order that not. It's not like negative henna. This is a different usage, like, hey, he ain't the Christ, is he? That'd be pretty, you know, while they were wondering, hey, this guy isn't the Christ, is he? Himself, autos, he himself isn't the Christ, is he? Apekrinata, he replied saying to all, John did, ego men hudeti baptizo humas, I, on the one hand, baptize you by means of water, but is coming the stronger than me guy. Now, before we go on, I do want to back up and look at the first word of 16, apekrinata. Now, there is something real unusual about that word. I don't know if any of you would recognize that. Apokrinomai is normally a passive deponent. This is a middle form. It's a middle used where a passive deponent is normally the case. You can tell that with the alpha there following with the ending. All right, so, and after me, or there is coming the one stronger than I. Now, this next part, Andy, is a great Hebraism. Whose not am I sufficient to loose the thong of the sandals of him? So you've got a pleonasm here. You've got an extra word. That's what a pleonasm is. He could have used one of two different constructions. Who, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to loose, or I am not worthy to loose the thong of his sandals. But you don't need whose and his in the same sentence. But that kind of pleonasm is the way Hebrew does it, right?
What I call a convoluted relative clause.
A convoluted relative clause. So you have the relative clause with the whose, but then they feel like they've got to put on gender, number,
exactly,
and so on later on. So the who is the relative there. I am not worthy, Lysai. Hey, hey, a form of Leo. Holy mackerel here. Yeah, contain ourselves. So that's an aorist active infinitive. I am not worthy to loose the thong of the sandals of him. And then the who is the relative that repeats that. Autos. Check the autos. He himself will baptize you guys with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I like that autos there. So he's going to do it. He himself is going to do it. Not somebody else, not like the Father, for example. 17. Of whom, whose, ta ption, winnowing fork, is in his hand, diakatharai, to purify. Now that diakatharai, from, you know, katharidzo, this is kathairo, and it's a little slightly different form, but it's also an aorist active infinitive. To purify the floor, the threshing floor, his threshing floor, autu, and sin agagain, to gather tonsiton, the grain, seitan, parasite, the thing next to the food, to gather the seitan, the grain, into his apothecain. Apothecary actually comes from this, his depository, his barn. And ta achiron, and the chaff, katakausai, he will burn up, piri asbesto, with unquenchable fire. Note how Luke has kind of picked up the future there. He will burn, he will baptize, and he will burn. And now verse 18 is the end. This is one of the biggest kicks in the Bible, this verse. Pola men un kai hetera para kolon oi engelidzata ton laon. And exhorting many other things, he continued to preach the gospel to the people. What gospel? You know, so he's got his winnowing fork in his hand and he's burning everything up and so on. But oi angelizeta is an imperfect from oi angelizomai, to preach the gospel. To a particular pericope. Okay, thanks very much. This was so exciting grammatically. I just had to take